My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
Wrestling Omakase is back, baby. The weekly podcast that takes you across all the top promotions on the entire Japanese wrestling scene. From New Japan to Stardom, NOAH, DDT, All Japan, Marie Gold, Dragon Gate, Tokyo Joshi, Sendai Girls, and a whole lot more. I'm John Carroll, a fan of Japanese wrestling for over 20 years, and every week I'm joined by a rotating cast of guest co-hosts as we break down all the top promotions in Japan, men's and women's. Check out Wrestling Omakase right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network today.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game. Delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome back to the Euro Clutch. I'm Ian Hamilton, and we've got a big Forbidden Door weekend coming up in a fortnight. Preview of that coming up next weekend. But after the last episode, I wanted to look back at something a little bit different. Going back, well, depending on when this drops on your feeds, 9 years ago this week, a show where your call really did have 1,000 fans packed into it for a moment in British wrestling history. But first, we've got to go back to a little bit more than 9 years ago. May 27, 2016, Cork and Hall in Tokyo, best of the Super Junior 23, night 6. Not first place you'd think of, but bear with me. Will Ospreay against Ricochet, a match that broke a lot of brains, mostly by way of GIFs. Sorry, GIFs if you want to be pedantic about pronunciation. Long before New Japan and TV Asahi went crazy for ban Hammer on Twitter, this was a match which, both people back in the day remember, got a lot of attention. A match with exchanges between Ospreay and Ricochet that were maybe a little too gymnastic, but very much attention-grabbing, and, like I say, back in the ye olde days of Twitter where people were sharing GIFs and all that with abandon, it pretty much took over the discourse for the day. Now, a lot of those did come through to the mainstream. I think stuff like SportsCenter picked it up. And, of course, you had the old school of wrestlers, as they want to do, bemoaning about how kids these days don't know how to work. And look, a lot of people at the time, I would have been one of them, took issue with it. One of the main issues of a match was the selling. I know, right? Ospreay and Ricochet selling. But it was one of the things which people wanted to peel behind, the flashy backflips and what have you. you know, what's the point in doing roles if, you know, in the moment, especially in the GIFs, you're not really seeing the side effects of those. Of course, you had your Jim Cornettes of the world, you know, really, you know, taking fire of it over it. One such aggrandizer who maybe didn't expect back then was Vader. Of course, back then, you know, he was pretty much on the very much downswing of his career, you know, long after the WCW heyday and, you know, whatever that WWF run was. He took to his Twitter account, and this time it wasn't accidentally tweeting out his genitals, but as things are wont to do on social media, this very quickly took hold. Of course, in 2025, you know, a lot of tweets get deleted for, you know, reasons we don't need to get into. But this very quickly went from being a retweet of a GIF to some back and forth between Ospreay and Vader. You know, some begrudging respect from Vader's side. And within a matter of a few weeks, it went from needling each other to pretty much becoming promos for a match at a point. June 17, 2016, a tweet marked from Hillingdon, which, being from around there, that is probably Heathrow Airport, knowing the timelines, but a tweet from Will Ospreay on the 17th of June, just throwing it out there. I would absolutely love to face Vader at its Vader time. People think I hate him, but I don't. I genuinely want this match. And, you know, people, you know, the fans piling on. And, yeah, you just got a lot of Vader, you know, talks cheap. I've called you out for accepting Boulder, Colorado, the place. There won't be much ballet going on. You see, I don't like you. I'm going to hurt you fairly. Shoot style, anything goes. Ospreay, you're really an angry person, ain't you? Vader, right now, extremely. Ospreay, what should I do again? So it goes back and forth from there, but of course, in the background of that, you know, there were talks going on. You know, the A Squared Wrestling podcast, Andy Quilden and Andy Boy Simmons, covered this a few years later on after Vader's passing. You know, it all came out from Wash, but at the time, it was, you know, just yet another Twitter beef that maybe was, you know, looking to get a bit too out of hand. All the back and forth, you know, Ospreay going back and forth to Japan, you know, ships passing the night kind of thing. Eventually, all this came to a head, and the morning of June 26, 2016, not even 9 days after the Vader and I want this match tweet, RevPro posted an announcement for something called Uprising. It was going to be August 12th, 2026, with two faces on the poster, Vader, Will Ospreay. Needless to say, tickets for that show absolutely flew out the window. I mean, 2025 prices, you know, £22 for floor seat. You ain't getting into many big shows for that money, let alone, you know, a floor seat or anything like that. That meant, you know, you had easily 1,000 people in your column, or legit 1,000, not the 700, you know, bumped up to 1,000 for the sake of a nice round number. But the atmosphere inside the famous Bethnal Green venue that night was white hot, of course, middle of summer. The, you know, weather was more than helping it there. But, yeah, this was a card which could have been a one-match show, and they had quite the undercard to boot, and not from a personal point. This was around the time I was starting to get back into wrestling. I think my first live show was a few months earlier at the Garage in Islington, back for those old Progress Endeavour shows. I'm not going to go too off track by reading the card from March 2016, but, you know, a couple of names still pushing on as I'm recording this in 2025. B. Priestley, T.K. Cooper, Chuck Mambo, David Francisco, among the lesser of the curse names in that lineup there. But going back to your call, August 2016, we had a pretty stacked undercard. And yeah, you know, we are dealing, you know, 5 years on from speaking out, a lot of names here. Not really aging well, but, you know, we'll flip through them without making too much comment. Jay White against Josh Borden, the opener. Charles Simmons against Big Damo. Ryan Smiling, PJ Black against the British Youngbloods. That was Jake McCluskey and The Bruce. Yeah, there's a tandem that you know, seemed to have vanished out of thin air, or into thin air even. Chris Hero against Marty Scurll. Ricochet against Pete Dunne. And then the semi-main event was Zack Sabre Jr. defending the RevPro British Heavyweight title against Jeff Cobb. And very unpopular finish. You know, Sabre got booed out of the building, left with Andy Quilden coming in to effectively save things, and, you know, announced Jeff Cobb has announced or was being booked for the following year's WrestleMania shows. Got the crowd largely on side before the main event, and yeah, this, you know, if you want to call, you know, like the old as a dream back in the day, MMA, the freak show fights, in a sense, this was kind of a pro wrestling equivalent of it. On one hand, you had Vader, who just marked his 30-year anniversary in wrestling, at least going by cage match, and, you know, speaking after the fact, you know, this was, if cage match is accurate, one of his final 10 wrestling matches before he passed away. On the flip side, Will Ospreay, not even 5 years into his wrestling career again, going by cage match. So, no, Ospreay, again, you were looking at, what was it? This match was basically 2 months after he'd won Best of Super Junior. Well, about the same since he came up short to Kushida, cashing in that junior heavyweight title shot at Dominion. Ironically, a couple of days before the last round of the Twitter Wars, before the match was announced. So yeah, you had two very different poles, at least in terms of experience, and not least in terms of the look and the size. Of course, Vader, much bigger than Ospreay. And you know, back in your call, you know, Vader's double ref music hit, and that was the cue for the thousand inside your call to roundly boo Vader. Not so much universally, mind. There were a few, even at the time, were not big fans of Will Ospreay. You had a few who were very much maybe pro-Vader in terms of a contrarian point of view, but others who, you know, liked Vader because of, you know, who he was when they were growing up, and also in terms of the storyline, maybe a few really did believe Ospreay was being a disrespectful little prick in that sense. On the flip side, of course, Ospreay, you know, he was very much the returning hero, you know, even though he hadn't won the junior heavyweight title, with not the first Brit to win the Best for Super Junior. And yeah, this was, like I say, it was a cauldron. Like, I remember, you know, quite vividly being on the floor at your call. This was pretty much standing room only from bell to bell. And yeah, you had seats, but people were up on their feet from the start to the finish. You know, you had Vader, you know, getting booed from, like I say, the majority of the crowd. The V's for crowd were pointing towards Vader weren't quite the ones he was used to dishing out, the old, you know, Vader hand glove signal from back in the day. On the flip side, Ospreay, no, he wasn't all that much of a showman. He just, you know, started the ring. Vader took off his mask beforehand, which, if you listen back to the Andy Quilden A Squared Wrestling podcast interviews, that was something which I think was a request that he'd made for Vader. But, you know, I want you as Vader in the mask with the, you know, the old Vader leotard. It was Vader and leotard, albeit with a very tatty, holy black t-shirt covering it. But, you know, you get what you get. You know, we did get the mask, even if it wasn't for the match. Vader, you know, did a promo, and again, from that podcast, one that Andy maybe not have been too enamoured with beforehand, but, you know, it did the job on the day, so all's well that ends well, I guess. But, yeah, hey, if we can't patch in live mics and Budweiser in 2025, there's no way in hell you're getting this on the stream in 2016. But you could hear, you know, best part of it. Before the bell, Ospreay flipped off Vader, who, you know, just took him down the corner before the bell. And, yeah, this, you know, threatened to not really get going. You had a ref bump early on, the crowd cheered, things spilled outside. Shadow, if you spotted it, you know, pre-contender era, Dan McGee and Rob Elias in the crowd, or at ringside, trying to separate Ospreay and Vader to no avail. You know, they did put some space between, but Ospreay, you know, hit the ramp and did a big flip dive off the ramp towards Vader in the ring, which, if you've seen Ref Road Your Call, you can kind of picture that better than I can describe it. It was more of like a running cannonball, from what I recall, but things then went sour. Vader got hold of Ospreay, dragged him up the ramp towards the stage. One choke slam off the stage through the commentary table, and it was just absolute bedlam. You know, crowd absolutely electric. No, shit, Vader's ruined this big match we wanted, you know. Vader hates him that much. He's willing to, you know, kill him by throwing him through a table. Of course, you know, pro wrestling, we know what it was. You had medics there, you know, checking on Ospreay. The, I guess, the ref pro production of the times, basically with two Andys on a Zoom mic recording. You know, Andy Quilden, you know, abandoning commentary to check while Andy Boy Simmons, you know, kept hold of that Zoom mic and, you know, kept doing some commentary while things were going on. But yeah, Ospreay, of course, wasn't going to be down and out. He got up, he crawled off the commentary table, back towards the ring, and we had our match. And yeah, this was, this pretty much, it was a lot of smoke and mirrors, and it was always going to be. You know, Will Ospreay, 5 years in, you know, not quite as seasoned as he would become. Vader, unfortunately, a few years away from, you know, not the last match of his career, really. Very much on the downswing, and, you know, mobility-wise, not what you expect. But again, you know, Vader in 2016, you knew exactly what to expect, and you weren't getting Prime or WCW, you know, Big Van Vader here. But, you know, they made the most of it, you know, in the ring. Ospreay got squashed by Vader with an avalanche in the corner. He got thrown around. Second chokeslam escaped, and Ospreay managed to hit that handspring enziguri, took Vader down to a knee. But from there, it was pretty much all Ospreay bouncing around Vader. Clotheslines, and again, you have to remember, this isn't Vader doing, that doesn't work for me, brother, kind of thing. On paper, it had a much smaller Ospreay. This is the way any fight would pretty much go. And that's what this was being sold as to the crowd was. It was not a catch-as-catch-can wrestling match. It was a fight. So, while people were maybe not quite so enamored with, oh, well, this isn't going to be a classic contest. Yeah, but it wasn't meant to be. And to FPro's credit, we did have stuff kind of dovetailing out of it. Ospreay did try and get back into it. We ended up with another ref bump with a running drop kick, basically having Vader squash referee Chris Roberts. And then we get, I guess, in 2025, unfamiliar music, if you've not been a fan then. Pete Dunne came out to not the music you would more associate him with. Back in RevPro, he had a much different song to where he had Progress, and ultimately what got morphed into his WWE track. But yeah, Pete Dunne comes out, attacks Ospreay with the Drop Dead, what's now called the Bitter End. Can't say Drop Dead, it's not PG. But then we had, I guess, the start of the meme there with Pete Dunne shaking hands with what people called at this time his wrestling dad, Vader. Of course, this was all meant to spin off to a Ospreay and Ricochet against Pete Dunne and Vader match down the line. Didn't happen, of course. But, it kind of fit in the RevPro storylines at the time. You had Pete Dunne and Will Ospreay feuding over Ospreay's Cruiserweight title. And you want a little nugget of context. A few weeks later, we had those two meeting in what would be Ospreay's one and only successful title defense. Ospreay's commitments to New Japan meant that his appearances in RevPro very few and far between. It wasn't until the following April that he would lose that belt to Josh Bowden. This would be Will Ospreay pretty much not being available, and kind of what we saw as the template for a lot of guys who started making a New Japan. That have tours in Japan, certainly the big York Hall shows wouldn't fit around their availability. So you had belts on guys who largely weren't around, such as Life. So, of course, Pete Dunne out to attack Ospreay. The save was being made by Ricochet, who had beaten Pete Dunne earlier tonight. There's again, a bit of dovetailing there for you. But, of course, Vader had a bit of beef with Ricochet as well because of that match. Ended up with Vader being double-teamed. Shooting star presses from Ricochet, then Ospreay nearly won it. Pete Dunne pulls out the referee. Ospreay wiped out Dunne on the floor with a Sasuke special. Only back in the ring, two choke slams from Vader gets the win, and yeah, look, this was never going to be the five-star classic, and I think at the time I went below zero, as in terms of a match, not much to write home about. As a spectacle, though, this was, I guess, one of the the shining moments of the proverbial Britres boom. You'll go back to, Progress had the big moment at Wembley Arena, they had the Alexandra Palace Super Strong style shows. But in terms of a moment where Britres was able to take something, not to say this was no chicken salad out of chicken shit kind of stuff, but they had a big Twitter beef that went back and forth that easily could have just been lost to time. Oh, well, I'm only going to have this match in America. Well, it ended up being very quickly sorted out. But yeah, this seemed to be a match that, best way I could describe it, is not a RevPro match. It's not one of those, overly long RevPro classics, insert the air quotes as you wish to see, but pretty much only a match at this level that RevPro could have done. Progress were not going to do this. Maybe PCW up in Preston, but again, in terms of the size of the stage and the venues, it probably wouldn't have gotten the eyeballs of wrestling fans outside of London or the quote-unquote big two at the time. Certainly Ospreay Vader in 2016 would have gotten some interest, but how many people would have gone out their way to have tracked it down if it wasn't, in all due respect to PCW at the time, an established promotion? We did have some post-match stuff, of course. Ospreay, baby-facing himself after losing, claiming Pete Dunne failed RevPro fans, and that was pretty much that. So, flipping over to cage match, Vader, of course, passing away in June of 2018. Did have a few matches after this. A couple of days later, he stayed in the UK, match beating Sid Scala for the XWA. A couple of weeks later, he had a show in Brockton, Massachusetts for Top Rope Promotions. Bob Evans, Gangrel, and Vader against Frankie Vane, Jimmy Malonis, and Congo. There were some luminaries for you there. A Big Time Wrestling 2017. A weekend swing in Japan tradition. Koken Hall, April 20th. Riki Choshu, Shiro Koshinaka, and Tetsumi Fujinami against Akira, Kajimuto, and Vader, which, yeah, that's... but I hope I'd made tape somewhere. Two more nights for tradition. This was the Fujinami debut 45th anniversary tour. So, yeah, Vader bringing Ball back for one last weekend. And then just over a year before he passed, WrestleJam 5 in Ringgold, Georgia against the Iron Man. Someone who made it so big that his cage match name doesn't have a clicky link, so can't tell anything about him. But, on cage match, this was the ninth to last Vader match. And yeah, pretty much, let's say Vader passed June 2018. And pretty much a week or two later, that A Squared Wrestling podcast, of course, no longer around, but Andy Quilden and Andy Boy Simmons pretty much did like an in memoriam reminiscent podcast on the whole Vader Ospreay stuff. And a couple of nuggets that came out of this, which, in hindsight, speak volumes and, I guess really insightful. Of course, as you'd expect, Vader's initial response was just to the gifs of Vader Ospreay stuff, the Ricochet Ospreay stuff from New Japan. Vader hadn't seen the whole match, and I would have been stunned, frankly, if he had been watching having his New Japan World subscription, getting up at the crack of dawn in Colorado, sitting, watching that. There's no way he would have seen more than just those gifs at the time. At first, Andy Quilden had no intention of doing that match. Again, like I said, a very un-Rev Pro match to book. But again, after Will Ospreay effectively tweeted out that he wanted the match, it ended up becoming something that Quilden made it a mission to do, by his own admission. He emailed Vader, it took a week for him to get a response. No surprise there. And it became something that very quickly came together once Vader did get a response. At first, Vader wanted a package deal, guaranteed rematches, and Vader ever the worker, wanted to turn this from being, I hate Will Ospreay, but at the end, I want to be his best friend and be his tag partner. Of course, that never came out. It ended up being one and done. I think Vader was booked for some Comic-Con stuff as well, with Steve Linsky arranging roles. Some meet and greets and that XWA match with Sid Scala that ended up being tacked onto it, as we spoke about earlier. Over time, as you'd be surprised, maybe not so much knowing how internet fans are, there was a fair bit of backlash once this match was announced. This isn't Ref Pro. How dare you book this? I'm not buying a ticket to this. Thing was, you're always going to get backlash, especially around Ref Pro. They always seem to be, something more lightning, a lot of this kind of stuff, but, Andy stuck to his guns with this one, and, the idea of getting a lot more of the quote-unquote casual fans buying a ticket to this, they had to see the undercard. You weren't coming in just for the main event, and this was the proverbial show where you came for the main event, and that undercard sold you on the promotion as a whole. Something I think Andy claimed in this podcast, 70% of ticket buyers for this, so 700, were first-time Rev Pro fans. Whether that's accurate or not, it's a hell of a stat to trot out if that is the case. Someone I didn't remember, but apparently this is the case, they were going to do I guess we call it now, a press conference, a face-to-face event with Ospreay and Vader, try and drum the pipe for the event. Got called off due to low sales. Now, I don't even remember that being a thing back then. Now, granted, I wasn't as terminally online as I am now, but, you would have thought it would have been at least some, mention or whisper of this. But, apparently it was a thing. Just, I have no memory of it. Getting towards showtime, there's a little bit of, bumps in the road. Vader, not quite sure whether he needed a passport, pulling a full AR Fox there, ended up being sorted out. And something else we did sadly miss out on was the classic WCW era steam mask. Now, I don't quite know how that would have gotten through customs and how that would have looked in your call, but one little detail of it, had even been possible, would have been nice to have had, but sadly, No, we got what we got, pretty much. As for the match itself, Vader was, angling to get a rematch, which is why, Pete Dunne was put in. So at the very least, you could do the Vader and Pete Dunne tag team, or as it ended up being, Vader and Ospreay, which had all been booked. So you had no one out either way if, Vader, couldn't or, didn't want to do the rematch, or, things couldn't fall together there. Another thing that nearly derailed the match, on top of the passport stuff, Vader arriving in the country in pretty bad shape, by all accounts. I mean, he could walk, but, pretty much transported around to the airport in a wheelchair. There's, talk on my podcast, Andy, saying that, Vader wanted to see a doctor, whether it's for legitimate reasons or, what we say back in the day, some candy for the boys. We ended up, sketching out the match. And, the only reason why we didn't get the Vader and Pete Dunne team or partnership was because this was around the time when WWE were knocking on the door. Which is a shame because, another nugget that came out here was, talk of Pete Dunne having a Vader mask and doing matches with it. I mean, it would have been absolutely goofy and ridiculous, but, the Vader Ospreay, dad and lad, tag team with the matching gear, and, Pete Dunne did get the Vader-ish gear made. Probably would have, gotten a pop out of someone. Wouldn't have been anything long term, but as a, quirky thing for the year, would have been good to do. But alas, that isn't where it went. There was one line from, again, to wrap up from Andy's podcast, which, I think speaks volumes in 2025. For the first time in forever, people cared who won or lost. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, gets booked today when you're running a load of shows where, either results, a foregone conclusion, whether people just really don't care about what they're seeing. This isn't a dig at RevPro, this is across a lot of wrestling. And, certainly as someone who getting back into the scene in 2016, while this match was, let's be frank, utter dog eggs, was the kind of match which really captured the attention. It was more than just, a couple of hundred people in a dingy venue every now and then. It was a scene that was growing, and while this isn't going to be never did make anyone's match of the year results, it was the kind of match which had people going back to, look, this is a scene that is more than just getting people in as a fly-in for, a weekend and then that's it. This was the match people wanted to see, for better or for worse. It was a moment that, could easily not have been capitalized on. RevPro did it, and, it may not have been a match that went the way people would have wanted to see. It may not have been a whole story arc that could have gone the way people wanted, but as something that, Vader and Will Ospreay did, basically merging off of a backhanded comment, from the gifs of the Ospreay-Ricochet match in New Japan. It was making a lot out of something which very easily could have been swept under the carpet, and, I guess that's what wrestling is, isn't it? Not so much the stuff you plan for, but making the most of anything that falls in your lap. Anyway, I'm off to try and rest my voice next weekend. Weekend after this, we do have AEW Forbidden Door weekend. Not going to be previewing Macho because there's other podcasts that will do that better than I can. But we do have an absolute library list of wrestling shows going on in and around London. So hopefully early next week, before those all go on, I'll be joined, hopefully, by Neil David to run down both of the RevPro anniversary shows, Night 1 now being rebadged Global Wars UK, the Saturday, second night of the anniversary, that's being topped by Ricky Knight Jr. against Shaw Samuels. And we've got shows from Likes of Progress, we've got Pro Wrestling Ceasefire, and Riot Cabaret and Eve, and a few others. So we'll run down all the cards for those, why you should care, where you can watch them as well. But that's it. Thanks so much for listening. If you don't follow me on the social media platforms of choice, have a look for Ian Wrestling. You'll find me there. But again, thanks for listening. Hope you've subscribed, whether it's on YouTube or iTunes or whatever podcast app you use. And we'll be back in about a week's time with the Forbidden Door Weekend preview. Cheers.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.